88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Do you remember having a child's spinning top and wondering why it didn't fall over until it stopped spinning? Or did you ride your bicycle, "Look, Mum, no hands"? Well, both are examples of the gyroscopic effect, the conservation of angular momentum. Spinning discs are used in some satellites to keep them oriented in a certain direction. The Hubble Space Telescope is one such gyroscopically stabilized satellite. Originally, Hubble needed to use three of its six gyros to conduct science, while the other three served as spares. Well, the gyros on Hubble are now 15 years old, and some have failed. This has forced controllers to command the 34-year-old telescope to operate on one gyroscope. A few days ago, NASA held a media briefing to clarify Hubble's status.
Hello, everyone. Thanks very much for joining us for today's media teleconference. I'm Elise Fisher with NASA's Office of Communications, and today we're here to discuss an update on the agency's Hubble Space Telescope operation. So with us on the line to provide that update and answer your questions, we have Mark Clampin, Director of the Astrophysics Division in the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters. And we have Patrick Krause, our Hubble Project Manager at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center. But first, I will turn it over to Mark Clampin. Go ahead, Mark.
Thank you, Elise. So my name is Mark Clampin. I'm the Director of Astrophysics, and I'm going to talk to you about Hubble. So Hubble has been observing the universe for more than three decades now, and will continue to do so for years to come and benefit the science community. It's already more than doubled its life expectancy. However, over the last 6 months, one of Hubble's gyroscopes, or gyros as we call them, has increasingly returned faulty readings. And these, of course, are spacecraft to enter its safe mode multiple times. So just to explain what gyros are, Hubble's gyros are part of the system that determines and controls the direction that the telescope is pointed. So as we slew to a new target, they measure the telescope's slew rates or the rate at which it moves to the next pointing so that we arrive at the right place for the next science observation. Most recently, the telescope went into safe mode on May 24th, again due to issues with this same gyro. So after completing a series of tests and carefully considering our options, we have made the decision that we will transition Hubble to operate using only one of its three remaining gyros. Operationally, we believe this is our best approach to support Hubble's science through this decade and into the next, since most of the observations it takes will be completely unaffected by this change. One gyro mode actually returns Hubble to consistent science operations, which is important, and it allows us to keep another gyro working, although we will maintain it powered up in reserve for potential future use. So now I'll turn it over to Pat Krause, the Hubble Project Manager, who will share more about the one gyro operations and what this means.
Thanks, Mark. This is Pat. So as Mark mentioned, for months, this particular gyro, Gyro 3, has experienced repeated saturation events. So essentially the gyro outputs what it thinks is a maximum slew rate that it can potentially put out, which is faulty and causes this, it thinks the spacecraft is slewing at the maximum rate. And that in turn causes us to go into safe hold. And the team has repeatedly been able to take steps to return the gyro to normal readings, but the results have proved only to be temporary, and the problem reappears and has been reappearing more frequently. As we mentioned, the last time we went into safe hold was back on May 24th, and our attempts to pause the gyro to restore normal readings at that time proved to be unsuccessful. So our team now is developing the process and pursuing the process to transition to one gyro operations. Our team first developed a plan for one gyro operations over 20 years ago, and it is the best mode to go forward to prolong Hubble's life. and as Mark said, to consistently return us to science operations. And although Hubble can continue science operations in one gyro mode, there are some limitations in comparison to our normal three gyro mode. It will take us more time to slew from one target attitude to the next and to be able to lock on to that science target. And so that will lead to lower efficiency for scheduling science observations. We currently schedule about 85 orbits a week, and we expect in one gyro science mode to be able to schedule about 74 orbits a week, so about 12% reduction in scheduling efficiency. In addition, we won't have quite as much flexibility as to where we can observe on the sky at any one time, but over the course of a year, we will have the full sky available to us to observe, and we will be unable to track moving objects that are closer than Mars, although those targets have been rare targets for Hubble over the years. We do expect the transition to take us a little bit of time, and so we're looking forward to having science observations again beginning in about mid-June.
And now we have a poem about the Hubble Space Telescope. It's called Hubble Photographs After Sappho, and it's written by Adrian Rich and read by Amanda Palmer.
It's called Hubble Photographs After Sappho. It should be the most desired sight of all, the person with whom you hope to live and die, walking into a room, turning to look at you, sight for sight. Should be. Yet I say there is something more desirable. The ecstasis of galaxies, so out from us there's no vocabulary, but mathematics and optics, equations letting sight pierce through time into liberations, lacerations of light and dust. Exposed like a body's cavity, violet green, livid, and Venus, gorgeous. Beyond good and evil, as ever, stained into dream, beyond remorse, disillusion, fear of death, and life. Rage for order, rage for destruction, beyond this love which stirs the air every time she walks into the room. These impersonae, however we call them, won't invade us as on movie screens. They are so old, so new. We are not to them. We look at them, or don't, from within the milky gauze of our tilted gazing. But they don't look back. And we cannot hurt them.
And now, a song about the Hubble Space Telescope by the Kids Learning Tube.
On the Hubble Space Telescope, launch in 1990, built by Lockheed Martin, but NASA launched me. I'm currently 340 miles above Earth's surface on my way, completing 15 orbits per day. Each orbit I make around the globe is approximately every 95 minutes, so keep your eye out for me. I was made to look deep into space, I concur, as a vital research tool for astronomers. I was named after the American astronomer Edwin Hubble. He's quite famous, I'm sure. We'll take a look at my parts and what they're for. To prevent the sun from damaging me, I shut my aperture door. I use communication antennas to send images to you, and I operate with the energy my solar panels produce. The primary mirror collects light from targets and reflects it to my secondary mirror to view the assets. The reaction wheels reorient the observatory. The FGS is used to point and guide me to targets I see. I'm 43.5 feet long and 14 feet wide at my back. I weigh around 27,000 pounds, and that is a fact. I've helped pin down the age and size of the universe. I've discovered two moons of Pluto, Nix, and Hydra, of course. I discovered every major galaxy's anchored by a black hole at the center. You can be anything. Maybe someday you can operate me with NASA or the European Space Agency. On the Hubble Space Telescope, launched in 1990, built by Lockheed Martin, but NASA launched me.
Well, if you want to use the Hubble Space Telescope, you better to get in quick, because its gyros are failing and there's no way to repair it. This is the Space Show, and presented by the members of the Space Association of Australia. If you want to contact us, space.asn.au. So space.asn.au for the Space Show.
...88.3 Southern FM.